Well, I'd appreciate your prayer.
Tonight?
Yeah.
We sang a song that had a verse in it that said, my searching for satisfaction while in sin was all in vain. My testimony to you tonight is that my searching for satisfaction while in sin was all in vain.
Yes.
As a young man, the time that you would think that you had the whole life ahead of you, the time that you would think that you would be have the world by the tail, so to speak, my early 20s, I wasn't very satisfied. There was something definitely missing in my life.
Yes.
And I am very thankful tonight that I found out what that missing place was in my life.
Yes.
And I want to say, I think the song went on to say that my searching for satisfaction while in sin was all in vain.
Yes.
What's the rest of it? Say it again.
But I found it in God's well-beloved Son.
But I found it in God's well-beloved Son. And I say that that is absolutely the truth. And I recommend Jesus Christ tonight.
Amen.
I, thinking about in the world today, been for a long time, in my lifetime, there has been a problem with drug abuse. There has been many, many multi-millions of dollars spent in the campaign, even named it the war on drugs. They tried to fight the idea of drugs.
Yes.
A place as backwoods, as Pocahontas County, West Virginia, where I live, has a problem with drug use.
Yes.
It is in the most remote places of our country. It is everywhere. And as they have fought it and fought it, there has been campaigns to educate young people, children. There's been campaigns to educate them and say, just say no to drugs. Don't use drugs. Don't do that. And they've made great campaigns. They've advertised. They've done all that they could know to do. They've done all of these things. And it's exponentially got worse. It's still getting worse to the point that now there's the fentanyl crisis and, you know, there's the opioid crisis. And we was hit very, very hard in West Virginia with the opioid crisis. There was many overdoses and deaths and problems with all of that. And it just keeps going on. And there is a scripture in Luke 7:35 that says wisdom is justified of her children. And basically the meaning of that scripture is just generally the idea that it's going to come out in the fruit. Yeah. Whether the decisions that you make, what you're doing in it all is going to say whether it's worth doing it or not.
Right.
And I also have to say, I think most people would say that the war on drugs has been a failure because it hasn't accomplished the fruit that they would have thought that it wanted. You want to stop it out. You don't want people to die of overdoses, and it hits a lot of families, and it's a bad thing and all that. But there is something much deeper, much deeper that needs to be addressed.
Yes.
And what needs to be addressed is why?
Yes. Yes.
Why? Just people want to do it to begin with.
Right.
What is the element that makes not just young people, but mainly young people, but what makes them get into this place that they got to have something? Well, I'm going to tell you my search for satisfaction. Well, in sin was in vain. It didn't help. Everything that I tried to do as a young man that I thought would bring satisfaction, I could only numb myself for a little while. The only thing I could do was entertain myself, hold my mind for a little while, and then it wasn't long until I had to deal with the emptiness of myself again. And I kept going, and I never was, thank God, a drug user. I never got into those kind of things. But I understand why someone would do that, because I got to a place of hollowness and emptiness and some need in my life. And maybe it wasn't drugs that did it, but I'll tell you what, I put a lot of other things in there that shouldn't have been there and there to try to get through life, to try to manage life. You try to entertain yourself out of it. You try to activities. You try to do all the things, moral or immoral. You do all the things to do to try to get yourself through life, when none of that is ever going to work. It's not going to work in our society today. Wisdom is truly justified of her children. And you know, I think back about the times where in my life as living for the Lord that I've had people come against me and the belief that we have, and especially like our modest belief with our sisters. And, you know, we've been challenged with those kind of things. And, you know, all you have to do, you don't have to get aggressive about those kind of things. You don't have to get your feelings hurt about people saying anything. All you have to do is wait a while. All you have to do is wait a while and see their marriages crumble, see the things fall around. We don't want it to happen to them, but this is what the outcome of it always was. I've seen this and I've heard it all, and they thought they was on the top of the world to be able to say this to you and how wrong you are. And in process of time, I saw their lives crumble. Their wives are gone. Their husbands gone. The children broke up and split up, and the family's dysfunctional. They don't have good relationships with their neighbors. Their health is broken down from smoking and drinking and drugs. And I look at it all, and they said I was unwise for what I was doing. I'm going to tell you what the wise thing to do tonight is to find Jesus Christ. That's the answer to the wondering about life. That's the answer to what we need. And there's so much out there that will try to make we'll try to give us something. We'll get the idea that something else might work, or something else will do it, or we'll try to mix in with this something else. But I'm going to tell you, it never really works. Over in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter of 1 Timothy, in the 6th verse says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Now, to put the wording just right, just say this, I think what it's meaning here is that the word godliness here could be said true religion. The righteousness, godliness, true religion has a way of balancing the things in our life. It says with contentment, it's great gain. But it's the what makes the contentment without the godliness, there really, or the true religion, there isn't really any there isn't really any contentment. What true religion does, it gives us a parameter. It gives us a balance in life. What it does is it allows us to be able to put things in the real proper perspective. With godliness, your neighbor can encroach upon your land, and you won't shoot him for it. It gives you a balance, the right balance in life. True religion will make you godliness with contentment. It's enough. Having Christ in your life is enough. It is enough to believe in the Lord. It is enough to know that God created the universe. It's enough to know that God created me, and He knows all about me, and that God knows all about my neighbor. He knows all about where the property line's at. He knows all about the whole situation of my life. It helps balance things when it doesn't seem like it can be balanced by the rest of the world. Doesn't balance it very well. But when you're living godly and true religion, you have got Christ in your life, it brings the right kind of contentment. You can be satisfied. Yeah, this happened. It wasn't what I'd want to happen, but it happened, and it's okay that it happened, because God got something good in all of these things. And so recently at home, I've told this a couple times, but I had some chickens. I've been raising chickens. We've been getting eggs and off and on, and I live by Deer Creek, comes up and down through there, and so there's minks that go up down through there, and raccoons, and everything that likes to eat chicken. You know, chicken's a favorite about everything. It's a real favorite. So anyway, we ended up, things killed our chickens and stuff, and so I was at this place where I got this little incubator, a 12-egg incubator. It works really good, so we decided we was going to hatch these and get these chickens, and we got this really pretty batch of chickens out of it, and there was a couple roosters, and one of the roosters was really, really pretty. He was a cross between a red and a white rooster. You know, I really enjoyed these chickens. I have to say, that's all it was. It was enjoyment, but I liked to have the chickens, and I had them, and I'd let them out to range in the evenings and those kind of things, and so my neighbor had these two little dogs. Well, he had more dogs, but he had two dogs, and those dogs were bred for just feisty little hunting dogs. And so they liked to, they just liked to chase something and grab it. You know, it was their nature. I don't blame them for doing what they was meant to do. But the neighbor had them, and when they got out of their pen, they always seen my chickens, because it just crossed the road. Right. My chickens were staying in my, around the yard, and stuff, but the dogs would come over, and so they come over, and they got the chickens one time. Well, anyway, then one day I'm there, and I was thinking about this rooster that I really liked. He was growing up. He was getting the big feathers and all, and he was really pretty, and all of a sudden one evening I heard a commotion, and I think the children, some of the girls were screaming, oh, yeah, I heard a commotion, and the neighbor's dogs had come over. I think there were seven chickens all together, and two of them was roosters, and one of them was my favorite rooster, and I heard somebody say about the dogs, oh, the dogs again, oh, well, they only got one of them. I said, only one? Which one? You know which one. They got that, the dogs come out and got that pretty rooster that I liked. And it's disheartening, and it's not what you would want. But what do you do now? What do you do? And the neighbor lady come over, and she was very shy. And the neighbor man, I could hear him hollering at the dogs, and he was really not happy. So he didn't come over, but she come over with her head down and very, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry about your chickens. We'll pay for your chickens. No, we'll pay for your chickens. And so she ended up bringing me a gift card. It was going to give me a gift card because their dogs killed the chicken. Well, I got a little dog, too, and I keep him from going over and digging holes in their fence and their yard and doing that kind of stuff. So when she gave me the card, I said, no, I'm not going to take your card. And she tried, no, I'm not taking your card, because I know that when my dog gets loose, I'm not going to give you a gift card. So we'll just call it even. It's fine. But living for the Lord, I want to tell you, living for the Lord has a balancing. It godliness with contentment is great gain. It gives us contentment. It gives us a point of virtue. I want to say this. My neighbors are more important to me and to God than those chickens. I like the chickens, and you have a perspective, and you can get endeared to things and pets and property. I mean, you can have emotions about things, but it gives you the balance of a human soul. A human soul is more important than those chickens. Yeah. It always will be. It's the balance that the Lord gives us in life. And so I want to tell you what happened. I got a good relationship with my neighbors. Yeah. I got a good relationship with my neighbors. Because I didn't say to him, your dogs get loose again, I'm going to shoot them. Your dogs better not come on my property. You ever heard anybody say, I've heard it. I don't know what those things are. My neighbors are more important to me and to God. And for eternity than all the chickens that there is. And all of my, and I got a good, really good working relationship with my neighbors. And it's because there's something of godliness that's there, and it's a fulfilling thing. It's the right thing. So my neighbor sees I had a riding mower, and one day I was mowing, and it went to smoking and puffing and quitting and all that, and he's seen me park my riding lawnmower and get my push mower, and it's quite a bit of mowing. And so, and here he comes with his zero turn. This is the neighbor now, and he comes over. What made him do that? He come over and he mowed my yard for me. Why he did it is because there was a relationship. There's something happened there. His dogs killed my chickens. But I didn't make an enemy over it. Do you know that, honestly, his dogs killing my chickens made us better neighbors, closer? But that's only a God thing. That's all, but that's the fulfilling things of life. That's what you lack when you don't have it. I searched for satisfaction while in sin, and it was all vain. Nothing ever worked, and I was selfish and self-centered and trying to get it all myself, and what I wanted had to happen, and all those things, and I was never satisfied. When I found out that there was more to life than that, thank the Lord, there's more to it than that. So godliness with contentment is great gain. There's a great benefit to living for the Lord and getting a right perspective. I want to encourage us today to know the Lord, but more than know the Lord, allow the Lord to define our lives for us. Allow the Lord, more than just having a testimony, allow it to be a hard thing to say when those kind of things happen. Somebody says something that they shouldn't say. They're more important than what they're talking about. They're supposed, people are more important than that. We can get wrapped up in all of the things that there is in life. I won't go too far on this, but there's a political world and a world out there that's trying to divide all of us on something, trying to split us up on something. There's nobody that's worth so little that any of that matters. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? To a Christian, we shouldn't get wrapped up. Let that be defining to us. Lord, help us. Yes. Reject that. That ain't nothing but the devil doing that stuff. Lord, help us. This is more important. Amen. You're more important. I got some friends. I got some friends that was, I would say, are very much on the very liberal side of life. I'm not. And you know, I found out that we have an incredibly good relationship. And I'll say this. We really love each other. Amen. And I know where it come from.
Yes.
I know where it all come from. And it breaking something with them too. It's the Lord in it that makes the difference. And I want to tell you something. It's very satisfying.
Yes.
It is very satisfying. It's contentment. Amen. Thank the Lord for what he can do for us in our lives. Over in Ecclesiastes, what do we think? What do you think really makes you happy? Aren't we all? Isn't the bottom line of almost, I can't think of anything really that isn't geared to make us happy, to make us satisfied what we want to do. I mean, we don't think of money in terms of making us unhappy. I mean, the pursuit of land and homes and vehicles, relationships, they're all for happiness, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, what we want, we can really get it wrong in how much it can perform, right. But everything we do is geared to make us happy. Me and my family went out on a thing the other day up on the mountain and done that. We did it all for happiness' sake. I think we was happy with it, but I mean, the reason we didn't go up there to be miserable.
Right.
We don't follow it that way. We do it to be happy. But what really makes you happy? Honestly, have you ever thought about it? Wisdom is justified of our children. Does the things that we do really, are they really satisfying to us? Or is it vain? Is it really just empty or vain? Well, over here in Ecclesiastes 2, it says, I said in my heart, we'll assume, of course, that the preacher he's talking about, the son of David, we'll assume it's Solomon. It says, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I said in my heart, to give myself unto wine, yet acquaint my heart with wisdom, and lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. Now, that sounds to me like someone that was dead set on all the entertainments that he could do.
Right.
Of laughter, he said. I mean, comic laughter, comedians, laughter, gestures, slapstick, falling, I mean, you know, laughter, and he said of it all, that laughing, and you laugh, and there's something good about laughing. But what happens when you get through laughing? What really happens? The same old wretched, miserable person that dwells in there is still dwelling in there. You can laugh and you can have fun. You can do all that. He said, wine, I'll drink my wine, but I'll acquaint myself with wisdom. I'll do all this thing and I'll entertain myself. Yeah, I can get carried away with those musicians in the world that gets catchy tunes. Yeah. And they portray stories and songs, I mean, of those things. And they do all that. And it can carry you away for a moment. I know what music does. It can make you upbeat, make you drive faster, make you melancholy, slow down. It make you move one way, move the other way. It makes you. It can do something for you. But the thing that really asks the question is, what does it do when it's over? Right. What does it accomplish? Yeah, I entertain myself. There's all kinds of things out there to do it. But what did it do at the end? Right. And so Solomon says, I'm going to find out all about. I want to acquaint myself with all of it and see. Does it really? I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to see whether this really works. Well, I was a young man, grew up in the 70s, knew the 70s songs, knew the 70s bands and all of that. I wasn't overly given to music, but listened to it, heard it. Although some was catchy, some wasn't. All those kind of things. And I was still miserable. I still was empty and hollow. It would take me away for a moment, but then the music would quit. Right. And the songs would go away. Well, how many times can you, in my day, how many times can you set the needle on the record player over and over and play it again? How many times? That sounds funny to you guys, but I mean, that's what we did. This was late 60s, early 70s. But then they come out with the 8-tracks, so that was modern, you know, we'd done that. But you still didn't listen to them over. You couldn't back those things up. So what you did, you had to listen to an extra song or two, and then you went through tracks, like 4 tracks. If you liked the first track, you couldn't get the beginning of the first track because you already listened to it. So when you hit the track, you come back to the same spot on the next track. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. But that's the way they work. But how many times can you listen to the song that you like? And after you listen to it a couple dozen times, you know what it does? It fades away. It ain't as exciting as it was. You don't get any more. You have to give yourself to. That's what we're thinking about. There's something that Jesus does that's not like that. Amen. So Solomon's looking and seeking. This is, we'll assume this is Solomon, the wise man. This is the man that sought after wisdom, that wanted to have understanding. This is the one also that had an enormous wealth and was able to do whatever he wanted to do. So he says, where did I pick it up at? I sought in my heart to give myself into wine, yet acquaint my heart with wisdom, and lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men, which they sought to do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. Houses. How many houses? I'd like to know. How many houses? Well, you got one on the seashore. Well, you know, you need a beach house. You need a beach house. You need a mountain home. You need one. You need one in the back. You got houses. He didn't say how many, because he gave himself to every place he wanted. He built him a house there and did it. So he built houses. You can only live in one at a time, but he built houses. Whatever he wanted, he planted vineyards. Not one. He planted vineyards. He wanted plenty, and he planted vineyards to satisfy the need for creation, to need to do and to make something, to make a name or whatever it was. He built all those kind of things. He said, I made me gardens and orchards and planted trees in them of all kind of fruits, and probably searched the land over of the different kind of fig trees and pomegranates and all the different trees that he could get, and he planted them all that he could have all these things, because surely you could be satisfied in your soul if you had enough trees of different kinds. And if you had enough houses to stay in, surely you'd be satisfied in your soul. And if you had enough vineyards of all different kind of grapes, you'd have enough juice, you'd have wines, you'd have all the grape jelly if you want. You'd have everything that you want. Surely your soul would be satisfied. But it isn't true. It isn't true. It doesn't make it true. He said, I made me pools of water wherewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens. And I had servants born to my house also. Okay, now he's in control of people. He got plenty, so he gets him servants, maid servants, and men servants. And so now that's a different thing. I don't have to carry my own firewood in now. I mean, I can get somebody else to sweep the floor for me. No washing dishes, Brian. I don't wash dishes anyway. I'm not going to say that. My wife takes care of that. I've washed dishes before, so I know what it is. They have people wash his dishes, sweep his floor, got people to do everything he wants. Bring me this, go here, go there. Wouldn't that be the world? No. That wouldn't be the world.
No.
But Solomon's trying.
Yeah.
Got me servants, maidens, and servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. Now listen, he's got all that he could do. Well, I got cattle. Bobby had the donkeys. He probably had the camels. He got all the stuff out there. Great herds of all kind of things. And surely, when he gets through with the amassing of this great, great thing, that he's going to say, "That's it. That's it."
Right.
No, that wasn't it either. I gathered me also silver and gold. Silver and gold. You can make it tinkle in your hand. You can fill your pockets with it. You can rub it and polish it and shine it. And it's valuable, and you can buy something with it, and you can do something with it. So gold has always been coveted after. People die for gold. People give all kinds of gold. Judas sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. How did that work out? Wisdom's justified of her children. 30 pieces of silver, that'll satisfy your soul. No, that was guilt above guilt. That was condemnation on him so much that the silver rot, corrupted in his hand. I mean, he got it, and all of a sudden this thing was blood money, and it's bad. I mean, this didn't do it, and you know it won't do it today. People long for it and lust for it, and they get this Powerball lotteries and all that stuff out there, and sometimes it goes up to $500 million. I think its last one was $1 billion. Can you imagine? We used to talk about trying to understand $1 million something.
Right.
$1 million something. Well, this is 1,000 millions.
Right.
If you had 1,000 millions, that's a lot of stuff. I mean, that's buy your own island. That's own your own county. I mean, that's big money.
Right.
And how people long, oh, that would correct all the issues of my life.
No.
That will change everything.
No.
And you know what is above all of it? You don't have enough time to spend $1 billion.
Right.
Your life's not going to last hardly long enough to do it. And then what do you have at the end of that? What did you buy with it? But he said, also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasures of kings, meaning the precious gems and jewels and the creation of artificers and these people that make and do the inlayings of gold and all that. And it was some things that was particularly made for the king, the king's crown and all these things. And he amassed himself of all of this stuff, trying to find what the meaning of it all was.
Right.
Is this it? Is this where I ascend?
Right.
Up? Is this where I say, I am there now? I have no worries, no doubts. I have hit utopia. No.
No.
No such thing. I get me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments, and of all sorts. And now you can see this. He's seen something that he wanted, and all these things, and pretty singers, and all those kind of things. And now you're in my employment. You sing at my will, and now I can't sleep, so call the singers. Fire up the singer. We'll get this, and I'll always have something to take care of me. So I was great, he said.
Yes.
So I was great. And increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. And then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, yes, and on the labor that I had labored to do, yes, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. So here was the greatest example of chasing the world. There is none. I know of none better than this example. I will never have the means or the ability to chase the world the way Solomon did. He done it with a full total heart. Whatever his eyes seen, he got it. Whatever he wanted, he did it. He done it fully. And when he got through with all of it, now it's the time of reckoning. And now this is where the children of wisdom pop out and declare itself to be something. And so he looks and says, did it do for me what I wanted it to do? No. I am still empty and wretched and miserable inside me. And all of that I tried to do will never ever change that. I want to tell you something. For those that think, young people, here or may hear it later, for that is, a companion won't do it either. Now, I know God gives us our companions, but I want to tell you, a companion cannot fill this void that I'm talking about. You want to fill that void before you go into the companion thing. This can't be. Many people would say, if I had her, if I had him, or if this works out, then I'll be satisfied. It's all one life. If I can have that person, if I can live my life with them, I want to tell you, there's been more people that thought that way that ended up finding out that that person wasn't very good for them. Or again, they could be. It might have been, but it wasn't, because I want to tell you, without the Lord, it corrupts and molds in your hands. It doesn't work. So he looks at it all. He made ponds to fish in, to swim in. He made waterways. He had fields and plants and all the things that you can long and want for. And he owned all of this stuff, and he did this, and men servants and maid servants and all these great places to live and all of these things, and tried to get every comfort and tried to keep people there fanning the mosquitoes away. And he never had anything in that. Do you know what kind of life that would be? Hollow and empty, vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly, for what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath already done? Yes. Then I saw that wisdom exceedeth folly, as far as light exceedeth darkness. Well, for sure, that was all folly. Yes. He had his wisdom remained, but it was all folly. Yes. Another scripture I want to look at. Haggai, first chapter, third verse says, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, but you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough to eat. Yes. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. This is the proclamation of the Lord, saying, consider your ways, or another expression that we've used, wisdom's justified of her children. Is what you're doing bringing you the results that you want to have? Because do you know what we all really want? We want to be blessed, which means happy. We want to be happy. We want to be fulfilled. Money is only the pretense of fulfillment. It doesn't really do it, but it is what it's supposed to do, and that's why people chase after it to do it. And there's nothing wrong with the use of it, for sure. But it will not make you happy. It can't fill the void that's emptied. And so he says, consider your ways. Is Is what you're doing really doing it for you? Is it making you happy? Yeah, I believe the furthest, the most fulfilled place that a human being can have is in the will of God. For them.
Yes.
You can't do my job.
That's right.
You might do your job better than I do mine, and you might have the same kind of job, but you don't have my job. You have your job. The best place that we'll be fulfilled at is when we know that we fulfilled our place in God. The good place that the Lord put us. It may be a minister. It may be a helper. It may be a singer that sings songs. It may be somebody that sweeps the floor. You may be a housewife. You may be a mother. These are places that God gave people and all those things. And the best place that anyone can be in their life is exactly where God put them to be, doing what God wants them to do with their means and have a fulfillment of God's presence in their life. That is the greatest fulfillment that humankind can have. There is no greater than that. And it doesn't, there's been people that have been totally contented in life that isn't Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk. They don't have to have those kind of things. As a matter of fact, the most contented people are people that just serve the Lord in humility and don't chase after it at all. That's the ones that's really fulfilled. So consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, say the Lord. You look for much. Isn't that true? You look for much. I've enjoyed sports in my life. I like being active. I like the challenge of the activities and those kind of things. But you know, it can be so far out of hand in what people do with it, the way people think about it. There is people that put their whole life into this stuff. And then when they're what is it? The scripture says about hope deferred maketh the heart sick. You know, they give themselves so much. I'm going to tell you right now, there's only one team going to end up winning. At the end of it, well, you might have a year that you feel pretty good if that's what you're doing, but most of the time, you're probably going to be on the downside with a deferred hope that makes your heart sick. And so many people put that in there and make it important when it ain't important, and it doesn't fulfill. It fulfills for a moment, for a while. For this week, it'll do it, or a good season. But it's just so seasonal, and it doesn't last for very long. The Lord is saying, build my house first. You do what I want you to do first, and you'll have a perspective. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You'll have a perspective of life, and all of a sudden, you'll realize instead of getting in a fight or an argument over that game, that there's people, the people are more important than that game. You'll find out that there's nothing, that is vain and empty and has no promise for anything in it. I'm going to tell you, when you come down to end of your life, whether it be the Texas Longhorns or the Dallas Cowboys or whoever it is, they're not going to come to your rescue. They're not going to come and give you peace to die with. You're going to face that all different. And that God has no ability to come and make you happy. But the Lord says, go and build my house. And if I'm with you, then instead of burning wages and sticking it in a bag with holes in it, which means you get all that and you go down, and the first thing you know, you've all trickled and you have nothing left in there. The Lord help us. You look for much, and lo, it comes a little. And when you brought it home, I did blow on it. Why? I want to ask you something. How do you suppose you'll be able to withstand the Lord blowing on your life? That's what he said. Yes. You expected a lot. I blew on it. You didn't have a chance. So why don't you do what I want you to do? We can't fight and win this battle. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, And you run every man into his own house. I know the world is not going to do this and it can't do this. But I got an answer for the fentanyl and the opioids. I got an answer for all that.
Yes.
It's getting something inside that don't make you need any of that stuff that's going to destroy you and corrupt your body to death. You're not going to need those kind of things. That's the answer. And the further we go with the hatred and the malice, and the further we go with the uncertainty of what life is, and they're doing completely away from God, so there's no thought of eternity or anything left in there, or no hope or anything left in there. And so what's left is take a little bit of drugs or do something like that. I got a real eye-opener not long ago, a couple years ago, but I read an article about a young woman. A young girl, I should say, 15-year-old girl that was actually trafficked across state lines. The reason the story came about was that she was trafficked across state lines, and there was some political man that had done it, so he's in trouble for the act of that. And so the story comes out, and the story is told by the 15-year-old girl. The 15-year-old girl was a drug addict. 15 years old, she was a drug addict. And she told what happened to her in life. And it's absolutely eye-opening to me. Because what happened to her in her life is that she had a family. Her family was so dysfunctional. There was nothing but hate and malice in their home. Nobody loved anybody. They didn't love her. It was to her words, it was a hell on earth. In that home and in that family, it was a hell on earth. And she got a contact with some drugs. And the first time she ever done the cocaine that she done cocaine, and her testimony was that it illuminated her, it lifted her out. She felt such love, she felt such warmth, she felt such euphoria, she felt like she had went from the hell of her life into heaven. She said she was absolutely addicted. The first time she ever did it, she said, I wanted to live in that world, not this one. But the answer isn't a drug that wears off and leaves you completely wasted and worn and done. And I looked at that and I thought, I wish that somebody with the Spirit of the Lord and full of love could have got to the girl before she did that and was able to show her the love of God. Lord, it's our job. You want to be fulfilled? You want to really be fulfilled? Show the love of God to people. See the response to that. See the value of that. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It's such a balance. Because the love of God's surrounding them? Because they have such a good life around them? No. Because they feel hopeless and worthless. And don't have anything good in their life. No direction. Nothing there. Why not get out of it? Why not? And you can fight it with a war. You can try to criminalize it. You can try to do all. But as long as there's people wanting it, there's going to be some way of getting it to them.
Yes.
The way to get to it is to change their need for it. And maybe it never happened, but I'm saying that's what the gospel came for.
Amen.
You want to know what's important in life? It isn't the chickens, folks. It isn't the foot of land. It isn't the houses. It isn't the pawns and the servants and the maid singers and the son. And it isn't all of that. It's the souls of people. Lord, help us.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, help us to find it for ourselves. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine, upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon the labors of their hands. Now, I think this can apply. It applied to a nation, for sure. I think it can apply to us individually. This can be the dried up experience of our life when we don't build first the things of God. He said, if you'll build my house first, then I'll loosen the reins of heaven. I'll give you increase above increase. You follow me in this, and I'll be your God. I'll fight your battles for you. I'll do those things for you if you serve me. But if you don't serve me, I'm going to blow on it, and you're not going to have. You'll plant, but you'll never reap. You'll be thirsty. You'll be hungry, and you'll never be satisfied in your life. Oh, my search for satisfaction in earth is all in vain. Just didn't do it for me. All right, over in Ecclesiastes, 6th chapter. Let's see, 6 in... Six and six, I'll get it, pick it up. 6 and 7. Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place. All the labor of a man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. All the labor, he says, is for one, for the purpose of food. I mean, he's putting it in, not just food, this represents... it represents need. All the labor of a man's hands is for the need, for the needs that he has in life. And you can go through this life without the Lord, and that will be your plight. That's what you try to do. You try to do to gain family for yourself, to get and all that. And it says, it's all for the appetite. It's all for the desires. And yet he's not filled.
Yes.
Jesus told a woman one time that there was, if you'll drink this water, you'll never thirst again.
Amen.
This is a water that's going to be satisfying water. And it doesn't come from a foreign well. It comes from within. This is something that you can have in you that holds you, that makes you say, I'm not saying that you're not disappointed when the dog eats your chickens.
Right.
I'm saying there's something in there that makes you better than that. There's something in there that gives you the right perspective about it. There's things that happens in our life, and they're going to be. And I can accurately predict if the Lord gives us another day, there's going to be things happening in your days. You're going to have difficulties in this life. You're going to have those kind of things in your life for sure. But what's really important, I want to say to you tonight, if you don't have the Lord in your life, it'd be a good time to get him in your life. It'll be the most satisfying thing you'll ever do. It's a little abstract in trying to say it. It's almost like if you don't do it, you'll never understand what's really being said. But I remember the times in my life that was magnificent of that. The services that I've set in where the Lord come down and you get a little extra earnest of the Spirit and what it feels like to be that. Linda and I and the family was driving back from 23rd Street there in Oklahoma one time, going back towards Edmond. And we're driving along, and there's a park over there, what they call an amusement park. I'm not preaching against amusement park or entertainments and things that's fun. That Lord made. I'm not against those kind of things. But we was driving by there, and we'd had a good meeting. It felt like the Lord was on us. And I can remember driving by there and looking over there and didn't have any long, and I said something about it. And Linda was the same way I was and said something about, yeah, Six Flags over Texas or whatever that. I don't need none of that right now. We was full of the Lord. And you don't long for it. I don't need it all. I don't need the lottery. I don't need those kind of things. Because the Lord is so dynamic.
Yeah.
It fills our souls. Yeah. It's what's valuable. It's what's worth something. And you know that in our hearts is the greatest witness for the cause of God. You can wag your tongue all you want to. You can wag your tongue about stuff. And you should testify. I'm not saying that. But really having it in, that's where the testimony's at. When somebody can look and see, there's something really there with that one. They really are satisfied. When you start complaining about this, all this, my life's this, all that, that's not very appealing. I tell some of my foreign friends sometimes, they have a tendency to kind of do that, and I kind of want to help them out, and they can have a time to complain. And so when they start the first line of our conversation, if it's a complaint, I'll ask them if God's still on his throne or not. Okay? You sound like God's off the throne today. God's still on his throne. He's still taking care of it. He's got something for us. You